Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Cardin, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store. Where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you can give me a mug, I pour coffee in it, it disintegrates because it was made out of hardened cum. My guest today is a hilarious comedian who has written for Netflix's Human Resources and appeared in Jurassic World Domination. My producer has been so excited for him to be on the podcast. She has gone on and on about how I am not her favorite comedian, nor am I her favorite podcaster, and she doesn't even like me that much. The person she likes is on the podcast today. I have right here on Zoom Flesh, Caleb Heron.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, hi, hi. Imagine my producer hated me so much that she wrote that into the intro.
Hey. I was just very, very excited. Also, I think it's Jurassic World Dominion. Is that true?
Oh, no. What did I say?
Domination?
It's whatever you want it
to
be.
Guess what? It should be Jurassic World Domination because these fucking dinosaurs keep dominating, and that's why we keep getting sequels. So wait, what is it? Jurassic World Dominoes?
It's Dominion.
Dominion, like King's Dominion, the theme park in Virginia.
Not King's Dominion. Okay, Virginia, Virginia fans, you're eating on this episode.
Have you been to King's Dominion?
No! No, I haven't been to a theme park in Virginia. Are you crazy?
You haven't been to Virginia's premier water park, King's Dominion. It is world-class rides. Grab a buddy and scream out loud on one of their 13 world-class roller coasters, including Intimidator 305, one of the tallest and fastest roller coasters on the East Coast. You've never been?
No.
You can get a gold pass.
I'm a Worlds of Fun bitch. You ever been to Worlds of Fun?
No. What the fuck is Worlds of Fun?
I'm literally getting on a plane in 3 hours and I'm going to Worlds of Fun. I'm not kidding. It's a local theme park in Kansas City.
Does it have a Soak City? Because King's Dominion has a Soak City.
It has Oceans of Fun attached to it, which is a water
park.
Wait,
what's it called?
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun.
Worlds of Fun. And where is this place?
It's in Kansas City, and in October they do a haunt.
Okay.
They turn the whole thing spooky. It all turns spooky.
Oh, it's spooky ook.
It's spooky ook.
I love this for you. So who are you going with? A lover? A friend? An enemy?
I am going with, I wish a lover. That'd be so cute. Actually, when I was in high school, it was such a thing to go. I live like an hour and a half, 2 hours. I grew up hour and a half, 2 hours away from this theme park. And in the fall, the couples, once you got your driver's license, all the couples in high school, I did not date in high school, really. They would go to Worlds of Fun and do the haunt thing together and go to like haunted houses and like hold each other and be cute. And that, I think that I was so jealous of that. But I'm going with friends from college.
That's nice. I often get jealous during the spooky season where couples go fucking pumpkin picking. Seems lame. Until yeah. You and a loved one are picking up big orange things and taking them home and loving each other.
If a friend asked me to go to a pumpkin patch, I would tell them to jump off a bridge. But if my boyfriend wanted to go to a pumpkin patch, I'd wear matching sweaters and do it. Are you kidding?
Yes. I once dated a man and I begged him to wear matching outfits with me on outings. And he was fervently like, absolutely not. And that didn't last. So I'm on the hunt for someone to wear something matching and go spooky ooky pumpkin picking with me. It's the season for it. I'm putting it out there in the universe. I will find someone who wants to pumpkin pick with me.
Yes. By this time next year, me, my boyfriend, you, and your boyfriend will all be at a pumpkin patch together. I can feel it.
Oh my God. Let's double date. Let's do it. I ran into you at Hilarity for Charity, which is Seth Rogen and his lovely wife Lauren's foundation, where they're looking for the cure to Alzheimer's. And we hung out for a little bit, and you went to the bathroom and you disappeared. And I said, wow.
I did not go to the bathroom, honey. I was 10 feet behind you. I had to step.
Oh,
I was
really?
Just stepped. I stepped out to, yeah, I stepped out to smoke a little. And then I came back and I was just standing. I was standing near you still. But you know, I look, when you're on hour four of a charity event, you got to step outside and smoke a little weed. That's just
you
what
do.
Has to happen.
You do?
You have gotta to.
Smoke just to, the scenes just kind of busy. I can't really smoke weed out in public anymore.
What happened?
So, like, I'm a pretty boisterous, loud person, and I feel like people stare at me when I'm quiet, and I'm like, I just, like, want to be here with my thoughts, like, amongst the people. But then people are like, are you okay? And I'm like, because I'm not screaming? Yeah, technically I'm fine. I'm just, like, a little stone, you know? So, yeah. That's where I'm at.
I get real honest. I got a little too high, because that Seth Rogen weed is not a joke. And I started telling the truth about the magician.
Wow.
I shouldn't have been doing it. I should not have been doing it.
Okay. I mean, we all have our thoughts and theories about magic. I will say, I fucking love the Magic Castle. Have you ever been?
I haven't, because I can't. Magic, I'm one of the people that tries to break it all down and be like, how they do it. It's a lie. It's a trick. It is a trick.
It is a trick. It is truly wild, and I love it.
Magic Castle, you're a stan. You're going all the time.
I will go any and every day. The magician we were talking about, Justin Wellman, he once put a piece of corn through his face, and it came out of his eye, and he did it on Nailed It, and it was too spooky to air on Nailed It.
Yeah. They were like, no, we're not going to be nailing that. Not for the viewers. Thank you.
We can't do that. Thank you so much. The children will be frightened.
I don't like hearing about it, frankly. This is the second time you've told me, and both times my body has rejected it. My body goes, no.
I love this. Wait, Caleb, tell me this. Riddle me this, riddle me that. Are you dating? Are you betrothed?
Nicole, you know I'm single. You know I've been single my whole life. I'm dating-ish. I'm always out and about, but I'm a saboteur. I sabotage myself and my relationships. And I'm just not, it's never happened for me.
How are you out here saboteuring?
I will go, well, okay, there's a lot to dig into here. I will find one thing wrong with somebody, and certainly because of my own shit, I have my own commitment issues, and I'll be like, oh, this is never going to work. I shouldn't see them again. And I'll go on like two or three dates, and then I'll be like, oh, God, won't work. And then I cancel them in my life.
Canceled.
I think the problem is not only my commitment issues, but also it's really easy, I think, when you have like a lot of good friendships in your life and you're a gay man, so you can have casual sex on Grindr very easily.
Mm-hmm.
To just be like, I'm good. I got everything I need. It's all working out. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. How old are you? Is it out in the world? Do you care to share?
Oh, yeah. I'm 27.
You're still so young. I remember being a goo goo gaga 27-year-old, and I said, yum, 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 casual sex will do it for me forever. And now I'm at the ripe old age of 42, and I just am so fucking horny for dumb shit couples do. Yesterday was National Boyfriend Day, and it felt like a direct attack on me. Every time I fucking opened Twitter, it was like, he's not your boyfriend yet. Make sure you get a picture of your boyfriend and stuff. Make sure your boyfriend says, I love you. I was so mad all day.
Look, okay, so let me ask you this. Are you still doing... what is your feeling on casual sex now? Yes or no?
My feeling on casual sex is I'm about to do it. I hooked up with this dude in Houston a full year ago. He DM'd me like, what's up? You think you'll be in town soon? I said no, but guess what? I'm going to be in town soon specifically to fuck this man. And I'm going to let him know that that's what's up because I'm horny and I need it.
Nicole, I gotta say, I'm a little disappointed in you that you're gonna fly to Houston when you could import the dick to LA. Fly him
here. The thing, I need to get out of LA for a second, and I'm not trying to have sex in my home with strangers. So it's like, okay, she gets on a little airplane. Maybe I go to a little thrift store, have a lovely Eat, Pray, Love thing in Houston, Texas, and then I get fucked. I take all my little things and tchotchkes home, and then I have a nice life again.
I gotta say, you're onto something, I think, about the way that I remain in such love with LA, and I do love LA, is I leave at least every other month. No questions asked. I definitely mm-hmm. have to go on a trip somewhere else.
Yeah, I've been going on trips. I went to Mexico twice. This year was very, very nice, but I have been here for like a couple of months. I've been here since May, I think, and I'm like, I went to San Francisco, but that doesn't fucking count. But yeah, I gotta get the fuck up out of here.
Are you at the point, because I've gotten between touring and having lived in a couple different cities and things now, I have, when I go to a city, there are a couple of people in my phone book that I'm like, I'm going to text you. We're going to have sex. And that, do you have that in different cities? You have one in Houston.
No.
But are you keeping...
Well, I have singular person in Houston. If there was a Rolodex to keep, I would keep it. I don't get chuckle fuckers. A lot of female identifying people, we don't get chuckle fuckers. People don't want a funny woman. People don't want a fat woman. People don't want a fat, black, funny woman. And some do. I'm not gonna say not everybody, but like I live in reality. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I'm so jealous of my some of my thin acquaintances have like a third of the personality that I have, and they could get fucked walking down the street. I have to put in so much work
so
to have casual
work.
Sex. As a fat person,
yes.
I have to be so good.
You have to be very funny, witty, but then if you're a woman, you have to hide your wit and hide your funny, and then this man says something that is the dumbest fucking thing you've ever heard in your life. He starts laughing, and then you go, Oh my God. You're so funny. And then you bat your eyes at them being like, just fuck me. And then they're like, oh wow, you really love, you know, you think I'm really funny. I'm like, I do think you are so funny, because that's what men seem to want to hear all the time. And then, you know, maybe I'll get fucked. Or maybe, Caleb, maybe the move is throw myself into my work even more, have less of a social life, and then cry myself to sleep every night. It's one or the other.
Look, I very regularly am like, maybe I'll just do the really intense career thing. But the issue for me is I want kids. So I'm like, I gotta find somebody.
How many?
I know. I would love like 3 or 4 kids.
Three or four? How on earth would you keep track of all their names and what they like and what they do? That's crazy. What if one likes soccer, one likes tennis, one likes sitting, and then the other one is like, I don't know, a fucking rides elephants? Like, how do you keep all that straight? And then you have to take them to elephant lessons.
Well, first of all, hired help. I think it's the first thing. You gotta get some help. And yeah, I mean, just the one who likes sitting would obviously be my favorite. I'm gonna like them more than tennis kid for sure. What kid is into tennis?
The Williams sisters were very into tennis, but I don't know if it was forced or a dream. Caleb, here's another thing. If you, okay, so say you have a partner, will one be dad and one will be daddy, or will you both be daddies?
Oh my God, I haven't thought about this.
Well, nobody has. It's a dumb question.
No, but I actually, you know Sabrina Jalice.
I love her.
Her and her wife, Shauna. They're, I think their kid calls Shauna mom or mommy and calls Sabrina Baba, which I forget what it means, but
that's cute.
Maybe we'll do something cute with it, you know?
If I have kids, I think I'd want my kid to be like, hey, you. I'll be like, what? What? What do you want now?
Not hey, you.
Hey, you.
Hey, lady.
Hey, lady, I'm hungry.
Hey, lady, give me a hand over here. I need a snack.
Hey, lady, give me a tit. I need milk. I just really want construction worker babies.
Construction worker baby. Okay. Feature idea. Start writing the script, babe.
From the minds of Boss Baby comes construction worker baby.
The working class response to Boss Baby.
So are you dating right now? What's the deal? Are you on the apps? Tell me everything.
I am on the apps. I find it increasingly difficult I'm gone so much from where I live that when I'm in town I know you relate, when I'm in LA to give up a night, even a coffee, even a drink, there's so many people I don't see that I love to give it up to some stranger. Is a fucking nightmare, but I'm doing it. I just actually, two nights ago, I went on a very good first date, and I'm excited about it.
Ooh, how'd you meet them? On an app?
I met him on Tinder, and we went to dinner and got ice cream, and it was cute. I mean, we'll see, you know?
Yeah, I gotta say, that's the worst part about going on a first date. You go, great. This was good. This was fine to good.
Yeah.
And then you have to like keep meeting them to find out if they're good or bad. Because everyone's on their best behavior on the first date. And you don't find out anything until like a month or two in.
Exactly. And I've never gotten past the phase of being, like I said, I am annoyed that there are so many friends I don't see regularly because of our travel and work schedules, that when I'm in LA, that even giving up a second, third, and fourth date time for that, I'm like, if this doesn't turn into marriage and kids and we die together, I'm a monogamist, unfortunately, then I'm like, this was a waste and I'm mad about it, which is something I'm trying to like reframe my perspective on, but it's how I feel.
Wait, what do you mean reframe your perspective on it?
Well, I'm trying to be more like what I feel right now is like, every night I give to a stranger that doesn't end in like a long lasting great relationship, I feel annoyed at the prospect and I don't want to go. I'd rather hang out with my friends. And I'm trying to think of it more as like, well, it's never going to happen if you don't try. And also, you know, you're meeting people and it could be, you could get material from it, or I'm trying to find anything to latch onto about it that'll be like, no, it's actually good if you go on a date that's horrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Although before each date, I truly pray to the heavens and go, I don't want material. I want to meet somebody.
Yes.
And like, it's it's terrible because that's what it is a lot of the time. Like, I went on a date with a man who scooted to our date. He had a scooter. Scooted. He like wanted to walk me to my car. I think I've told this story on the podcast, but he wanted to walk me to my car. And I was like, well, where are you parked? If you're parked really far, I can take you. And then he pulled a scooter from under the table and was like, I scooted here.
Ugh.
And I said, you know, that's really great for you. And I'm not like looking down on scooters or nothing like that, but like,
I am.
Scooting might be fun, but like, I just want you to have a car. I want you to pick me up on a car, not on the back of a scooter where I go flying off and die before the date.
Pick me up. Yeah, I really want. I will, in the spirit of vulnerability, tell you I have had entire sex with a guy, and then afterwards he rode off on a penny board and one of those tiny little skateboards. I've never been more mortified in my life. But also, yeah, I want to be picked up. I want to be picked up. Someone plan a date.
Yes, plan a date. Pick me up. Romance me. Give me like flowers. Give me gifts. That's all I want. I want to be romance.
Everyone is fighting so hard now not to be a try hard that like, yeah, I feel like there's no like, at least nobody I'm really going on dates with is like doing anything cool. Like no one's like giving compliments or like planning big things. They're just like, should we get a drink? And I'm like, oh god, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, which is a very like, nobody's trying anymore. I gotta say, I think I said this before on my podcast, but like after that second vaccine came out, I feel like everybody was like, this is our second chance at living. I want to be in a relationship. I want to get married. Let's go out. And now it's all back to like, I'm just looking to hook up. I'm ethically non-monogamous. You want to be Arthur? I'm like, listen, I just got to get into one relationship that's monogamous. And like, I'm loved before I can even think about being the second to someone's loving relationship.
I don't want to be anybody's third. I am very monogamous. I don't want to date six people. I'm not interested. It's just stressful and I don't like it. I want one person. Thank you.
I also think it's too much. I'm like, I think I'm too much. Like, bravo to people who can do it. But like, I need a lot and I need one person to handle it because I can't split it between two people. I'll be telling everyone the same thing over and over again. I'd be too crazy. Can't do it.
I also think it's very enlightened. Like, I think it's very progressive and cool. I think I've gone far enough. I've unpacked plenty of stuff from my conservative upbringing and I've done a lot of work. And now I'm like, I'll just keep the thing where I have one partner. I'll just keep that part. And everyone else can be more progressive than me in their relationships. I'm okay with that.
Okay. You went to Missouri State University?
Ah! Yeah, I did. Go Bears.
Go Bears. I once did a show there where I didn't know it was Friends and Family Weekend and a bunch of children learned about my pussy. But so you did your undergrad there and then you were going to go to lawyer school?
That was the plan. I wanted to be a lawyer.
What kind of lawyer?
I wanted to be a civil rights attorney. I was very like, I had favorite Supreme Court justices in high school. I wanted to like, I thought I was going to change the world.
Who was your favorite? Clarence Thomas?
Yeah. Oh my God. How did you know? Yeah. I love, it was like Clarence Thomas, Scalia. No, when I was growing up, I was really kind of infatuated with Thurgood Marshall. I had read a bunch of like books about him.
Oh, interesting.
I just think he was a fascinating guy. Yeah, and I wanted to work for like the ACLU or something.
Oh my God, I love it. And now Now you're just like giving people the charity of laughter.
Yeah, I'm changing the world through comedy. No, not at
you
all.
Comedy can change the world. So, okay, you were in a fraternity. What the fuck was that like?
Oh my God, here we go. How did you know that? Who told you that? Who did this research? Mars?
My lovely assistant, Lindsay. She's truly incredible. I love her so.
Lindsay, I was in a fraternity all 4 years. I joined, I rushed kind of as a joke. I thought, wouldn't it be funny to go hang out with these douchebags for a couple days? And then I met some guys who were actually pretty cool. And I was like, well, it'd be good for like getting into law school and stuff. And they know everybody on campus and it's like a good way to get involved, whatever. And I ended up kind of liking it. I mean, I stayed in it, but the last like year and a half or 2 years, I was mostly like, I'm not coming to any meetings. Don't find me. Let's just, you know, do our own thing.
Let's just break up.
Well, it's kind of like, it was so goofy. I mean, every I think it was Sunday nights, we had a meeting where we had to dress up and like talk about, you know, all the issues of the chapter or whatever. And I was just like, I'm not coming to this shit anymore. I'm like starting to think about graduation and moving. And I just was like, I can't do this anymore. But it was fun. There were a bunch of guys that I love and I'm still friends with, and then there are a bunch of guys that I never want to talk to again. Kind of like any group of people.
I mean, tis the way of life.
I know.
I worked at a store for a very long time, and there's like two girls I still talk to, and everyone else I was like, oh, kick rocks, y'all sucked.
What was the store?
Lame Giant.
What's that?
Lane Bryant.
Oh, I was like, what is that?
Yeah, Lane Bryant, but I call it Lame Giant. Nobody ever thought it was funny. Okay, so in college, you joined a improv team, Grin and Bear It.
This is so embarrassing. you just reading facts of my life to me. Yeah, I joined an improv team, and that's maybe one of the most embarrassing. Well, joining an improv team is a little embarrassing. Loving it and like letting it change your life in a genuine way is so embarrassing. Like I started like
every time I do an improv show, I'm like, this is embarrassing. Like we're all getting together, getting really amped up to make things up on stage. But you go into it. Tell me about Grin and Bear It.
Oh, I got very into improv started to be, I was so depressed when I started doing improv. It's the reason I started doing it is because I was like, you know, a college sophomore, and I was like suicidal and was like, what is life? I'm learning about like injustice for the first time. I got so into it. I was like reading like improv books and like sharing quotes on Facebook and being like, yes, and it will change your life. I was so into it.
Yeah, I mean, I did too. I like when I got into it, I was in real fucking deep. So then after college, you moved to Chicago to perform more improv at IO.
All the time. I mean, like every night for like a year, I will say for like a year in Chicago, I was like improv all the time, every night. Let's do it. And then I was very quickly like, this is going to go nowhere. So I started doing improv and sketch, and I was ahead of the curve a little bit, I think, in having that realization quickly. Were you ever in Chicago? Did you spend time in Chicago?
No, I didn't spend time in Chicago. I spent a solid, I would say, 6 years doing improv at UCB in New York.
Rock on. Uh-huh. And did you love it?
Oh my God. I knew who
you were at Chelsea.
All the performers were. I knew
you were under the Gristides.
All the teams were. You better believe I lived under that Gristides. That nasty carpeted theater. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. I had some of the best times. I met some of the best people. But yeah, I wish I like started making like digital content a little sooner.
Yeah.
You know, putting those sketches online a little sooner. But, you know, it is what it is, and life is good.
Life is good. It worked out how it was supposed to, babe.
It
you're one of the improv success stories.
Thank you so much. So, Caleb, when did you move from Chicago to Los Angeles, California?
Los Angeles. I moved to Chicago right after college, like a week after I graduated. I lived there for 3 years. And then in June of 2020, so just over 2 years ago, during the pandemic, I moved out to LA because I was like, my lease is up and I had decided before COVID that I was ready to leave Chicago. And so I just went ahead and did it anyway.
I love it. And you did that like mid-pandemic, right?
Yeah, it was spooky, spooky. I mean, I loaded up a truck with my friend Shelby Wolstein, who's a genius comedian and a collaborator of mine, and we drove out from Chicago to LA with the two of us and both of our moms, and she drove her car, and we put my car on a trailer, and yeah, we did the thing. It was but it was wild because you were scared to stop at a gas station or anything because of COVID and driving through like parts of Utah where no one was wearing masks in June of 2020. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. It was nuts.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I went to like Oklahoma or somewhere to shoot a movie. Bit part, not even a brag. And I asked the craft service person. I was like, because the cop that was like on set was like not wearing a mask and I had to drive a cop car. And I was like, oh, truly don't feel comfortable getting into that car, breathing in that man's air. And they were like, oh, okay, we'll put him in a mask. So then I made a very big production of spraying Lysol all over this man's car. And then I asked the craft service lady, I was like, what is the deal here? Like, did you guys like, what was your lockdown like? And she's like, lockdown?
Yeah. She was like, honey, we didn't lock down. There was no lockdown over here.
It's so wild to me because like I have a friend in New York who still has PTSD because there was a freezer truck full of dead COVID bodies around her corner. And I'm like, the rest of the country like didn't get it. It's wild to me. But yeah, moving mid-pandemic, crazy.
So many people. My dad died earlier this year, and I went to get like condolences flowers for my grandmother, and not funny ultimately, but I went and the woman was like, "I'm so sorry, darling. We are out of condolences arrangements because everybody's been dying of COVID." she was like, "We can do a happy birthday arrangement and take out the happy birthday." And I was like, holy fucking shit, y'all are doing things a little different over here.
My God. This has been like the most casual pandemic I've ever been. I've never been a part of a pandemic, but like everyone, that's the most casual thing I think I have ever heard. Oh, honey, we ran out of condolences ones. Everybody keep dying. But you know what I can do? Spin up that happy birthday to say, happy you didn't have a birthday because you did. Like
she said, darling, I don't even know how to tell you this. Everybody's dead. Yeah.
How
it was crazy.
Fucking wild. Real quick, Kayla, but we have to take a break. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops, and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out, so you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. Oh boy, we're back. Okay, Caleb, tell me about a date that you went on that was like bad, but not bad in a trauma way, because it's a comedy podcast. Bad in a ha 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 way.
I went on a date. Man, I've blocked this out. I went on a date in Chicago. This is this must have been late 2019, early 2020, I'm guessing, because I had gotten a lot of internet followers by that point, which is around the time that happened. So, and that matters because I was used to dating as somebody who did not have any kind of attention, and it was a nightmare in its own right. But I went on a date with this guy who had messaged me on Instagram, and he'd been super flirty, and he was like, he wasn't even gorgeous. He was cute. Like, he was a cute gay guy. And I was like, well, he seems nice. So I was like, okay, this could be something. So he was like, do you want to get together sometime? I was like, sounds good. And then the day of, he was like, I'm going to hit you up. I work in the same area as you. We can find a place near our offices. We both worked in downtown Chicago. I was like, cool. Lots of great restaurants down there.
Very good.
Very good. Great food. And I was like, okay, sounds good. And I dressed cute to work that day so that I could go straight to the date. And I was like, okay, cool. First date. This is fun. And he messaged me like 2 hours before we were supposed to meet and said, hey, can you meet me at the corner of so-and-so and such-and-such and meet me at this corner. And I said, okay. And I looked and there's really no restaurants on that corner. But I was like, okay. I meet him there. He says, let's go over here, and takes me to a Chipotle. We each get our own bowls. We get our Chipotle bowls. And I'm thinking like, oh, maybe he's just like wants to do something quick, and if we hit it off, he wants to go to the next place or whatever. So I'm like, okay, this is bizarre, but okay. So we pay separately for our Chipotle. I'm like, alrighty. Which, my opinion, by the way, on gay dating is whoever asks to go on the date pays. Anywho, we pay for our separate bowls, we sit down. He tells me that he is getting over a crystal meth addiction.
Okay. First date.
And I said, rock on. Congratulations.
Yes.
And then he asked me if I would be interested in, well, he gives me a long-winded pitch about a web series that he's writing.
Okay.
And asks me if I would be interested in producing the web series.
Oh.
Like helping like make the web series happen. And then I was like, oh, you are absolutely just asking me for help on your web series and not ask, we're not on a date. And I could not stop laughing. I left the date. It was, oh, you know what? It had to be Christmas time because I walked alone after the date to the Chris Kendall Market. And if you're in Chicago, you know what I mean. And I just was laughing out loud alone at the Christmas market, hysterically. I must have looked like a maniac. I was like truly walking around this like little cutesy Christmas market in downtown Chicago, hysterically laughing. And I was like, this is the funniest thing that's ever happened.
I just love the gall of this
audacity
man to be like, listen, meth was a problem and no longer a problem. Do you want to produce my web series? Like,
also, having like 80,000 followers on Twitter does not at all qualify somebody to produce anything.
Yes, it does. Once you cross 50, you have all of the money from Twitter to produce whatever you want. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's wild. I've had people ask me to read scripts on dates, and I'm like, I don't even have a production company. I don't have anything for you.
Even if I wanted to, and I don't, that's not why I'm here. Mm-hmm. It's so goofy. It's beyond goofy.
Caleb, what's the first date you've been on? Do you remember?
When I was like closeted in high school, that date?
Yeah, what was that like?
Oh man, I remember I took a girl to the movies and her mom had to drive us. Mm-hmm. We were in maybe like 8th or 9th grade. And we went with some other friends were meeting us there, and it was like all boys and girls pairing up and being like, I'm going with Josh and I'm going with Katie and whatever. I knew I was gay, but I was trying obviously very hard not to be. But during the previews to the movie, everyone started talking about this girl that we went to school with, who I won't name, that was giving hand jobs behind the bowling alley.
Oh.
She had been giving guys hand jobs behind the bowling alley.
Wow.
And everyone was joking, like, the bowling alley was right across from the movie theater. This is a very small town. And everyone was joking, like, maybe we'll go to the bowling alley after the movie. And I was terrified that I was going to have to let this girl jerk me off behind the bowling alley. Because I was like, I don't know if I can even get hard for that. It doesn't sound good. And I was scared. I was horrified. I was like, I don't want a hand job behind the bowling alley. Like, I was like borderline panicking. It was, that was nuts.
I mean, that is truly outstanding. What if we have to go to the bowling alley? And what if I have to get a hand job?
I don't want to get a hand job behind the bowling alley from a girl. Maybe from a guy.
Maybe from anybody else except for this girl. That's so funny. I fucking love that. What's the best date you've been on?
I mean, there's not a lot of incredible dates to choose from. I'm trying to think. There was a string of dates. I met this guy who was really cute, and he was like all green flags. He was very I was attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, like, you know, he had all the things I want. He like loved his family. He like had like long lasting friendships, which I think is a huge green flag. He had all these things that I think are like huge. And the first date we went on, I was like, I'm just going to plan a date and you're just going to come and I'm not going to tell you what it is and you're going to mm-hmm. come along for the ride. And then the second date, he was like, I'm going to plan a date and I'm not going to tell you what it is. And then we went back and forth like this for like four or five dates, where every other one, the other person would plan a secret date and we would go on it. And it was really cute and very sweet. And we ended up going to, like, you know, some great restaurants. We went to a cute little concert at the Moroccan Room. We went to like an arcade bar. Yeah, we just did like this random shit. It was really cute. And I was like, that was a lot of fun.
I love that. That is adorable. I was dating a dude where we would alternate shitty restaurants and good restaurants. We would go to a nice one and then a shitty one and then a nice one and then a shitty one. And that was like really special.
Yeah, it's a cute, a little like, yeah, a little something, a little like, I don't know, a game's not the word, but a little like routine is like kind of adorable.
Like cute little thing between the two of you. But I fucked that one up, so it didn't last.
I fucked this one up. So I'm like, you and me, we're on the same page, because I fucked that up big time.
Yeah, I'm not good at relationshiping. Like, I'm not good at like dating somebody for any amount of time. I will do something that makes you so angry you don't want to talk to me anymore. And I guess you could say that's my gift.
Do you think it's intentional? Do you think there's some part of you that's ruining things on purpose, or is it genuinely just bad luck?
It has to be something in me, because sometimes I'll do things and be like, that wasn't good. And then like a couple minutes later, be like, hey, I know what I just said. might have been or not might have been was hurtful, and I'm sorry. I was just being, I guess, sassy? I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I'm always constantly fucking things up.
I mean, hey, I relate. I've gotten to a place where I'm like, I at least now can recognize that I am sabotaging something when I'm doing it. Like, I'll be like, okay, and now I am sabotaging this. Maybe I take a break and wait a day, and then I end up doing it anyway. But at least I know. I think that's progress.
Yeah, I think it is progress to know. I have a date coming up, and I'm trying to, like, keep it in my brain that, like, this person might be great, they might be bad, but, like, what I can do is not be a psychopath. I could just be a normal, nice person.
Yeah.
It's exhausting, Caleb.
I'm with you. This whole thing, this whole dating thing. Well, wait, you earlier though, when I said I wanted monogamy and kids, you really balked at that. Do you have no interest?
So, okay, here's the thing. I will like a monogamy. I would like to be someone's only for about 10 years. And then maybe we'll open it up. 10 years is a long time to fuck the same person. Surely we're not happy sexually. I feel it. Unless I'm with someone who's like rocking my world for 10 years. And in which case, I don't think I need anything else. But whatever. Maybe in 10 years, we open it up. We have a little fun. Don't care. I don't think I want kids. I can't possibly wake up in the morning and go, I have to feed you or change your diaper or like I need to like take you to school or like play with you and stimulate your mind. My mind needs to be stimulated. I need my dye changed. I need things. I'm too selfish, I think, to be a mother, and I think I understand that. And I think a lot more people would be better off if they understood that they're too selfish for a child.
Hearing what you're saying, I'm very much, I think you've made the right decision. when you said you couldn't fathom playtime with your child, I was like, oh yeah, maybe we don't have kids.
Yeah, sitting down and being like, here, put this square in this square hole, not the triangle hole. This is not a triangle. Like, I would just get so annoyed. I'd be like, what are you, an idiot? And it's like, no, baby, I'm a baby. I'm a technically baby. An idiot because I don't know anything.
No, lady, I'm a baby.
Hey, I'm a baby. Walk you here.
I'm a fucking
Where's
baby.
Where's my hammer? Real quick, we have to take another break. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dateme today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dateme. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world.
Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho! Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. Okay, Kayla, people will slide into your DMs after this because men have it easier than women. So what is the ideal partner you're looking for? Put it out there so when they slide in, they know whether or not they have a chance.
Oh, man. You know, a cute bisexual Jewish man would be
okay. If you're out there, okay.
If you're out there, no, that's specific. But if you're out there, let me know. Other than that, more generally, you know, somebody. It's all the normal shit. Somebody who's funny and nice, and smart. I would love. Oh God, if you're into me, if you're a single gay man who thinks you might be into me, and you don't work anywhere near the entertainment industry, please give me a fucking call. And if you're a comedian, please lose my fucking number. I am so tired. Oh, I just want to date someone. I just want to date a lovely accountant. I think that would be so nice.
That sounds like a nice thing. But I will say this. When you date someone who's not in the entertainment industry, it is a constant conversation as to why I said I'd be done with this project at this time, but I'm 2 hours later because something was wrong on set that is out of my control.
Yeah.
Or I have to fly out to so-and-so tomorrow because everything runs at the last minute. That's the only thing about dating someone not in the entertainment business. I think I want to date, like, I don't know, one of the accountants from the Emmys.
I will say, I painted too broad a brush because I will say that there's nothing sexier to me in the world than a musician. And
ooh.
A musician, if you're a musician, I want to hear from you.
Adam Levine might slide into the DMs and say your body's so fucking hot. I really loved those DMs. It brought me joy.
Yeah, I would fuck Adam Levine. Everyone who's like, oh, his tattoos look like Chipotle bags, whatever. Some of his music has been great, and I think he's hot, and I would fuck him. Sorry. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I think he's hot, too. Absolutely would fuck him. Do think his tattoos are a little stupid. I also think he's got a dumb fucking face, but I think he fucks really good.
I think he probably does. And I'm sorry, some of the Maroon 5 songs have really done it for me, so that's part of it.
I couldn't even tell you a Maroon 5 song.
Yes, you could, too. Do not be too cool.
All right, hold on. This kiss is it follow me down,
taking its toll on me.
Right now, we said it's up there. We like for you. There we go. I do know a Maroon 5 song.
Hey, you know so many Maroon 5 songs. You just don't know the titles of them.
Okay,
probably
hit me with another one.
Oh God, sugar, yes please. You know that one?
No.
You know sugar.
Wait, sing more. Sugar.
That's all I know of it.
Makes the people come together. Yeah.
What about this one? What about this one? Beauty queen of only 18. She has some problems with herself. You know what I'm talking about?
No. Hit me with the chorus.
Oh, God. What is the chorus of that one? Has some problems with herself. And she will be loved.
She will be loved. Yes. Okay. That's actually not a bad song.
It's a good
Thank
one.
Thank you for taking me on a Maroon 5 journey. I guess I'm here for Maroon 5.
Hey, look, they've got some bangers. Listen, here's what I'll say. Top 40-ish songs to me are like chain restaurants. They're popular because they're good. I'm not too cool.
I agree. When people are like, pop music sucks, I'm like, can you get a grip?
Because it's popular because we all like it.
Right. It's fun. And it sticks in my head from the radio. Sorry, I'm not a genius.
Like, there is these two white women. I can't remember. I stumbled upon them on Instagram. But one of them was just like, Beyonce's overrated. Sure, she can sing. And yeah, I guess she's amazing. This, that, and the other. And I was like, you're saying she's amazing. You're just saying she's great. But you're saying she's overrated. But then there was another clip about how they don't wash their hands after peeing because they're not touching their pussies. And I was like, ah, this opinion is just null and void. We can't possibly listen to anything else these lovely white ladies are saying. God bless. Good luck. Have fun with whoever you want to listen to.
There's also, there's something about white people when they get what they think is a valid reason to criticize a black person. Like, some of the shit I saw about Clarence Thomas or Kanye, mm-hmm. like anytime there's like a valid criticism, there's a kind of like shaking rage mm-hmm. that comes with it that I'm like, tone it down. Like there's something else going on. Tone it down.
Yeah, tone it down. I mean, Kanye, he's just lost his little mind.
Look.
And I say that not belittling mental health. I got mental health issues too, but sending people down the runway in White Lives Matter shirts with Candace Owens. Yeah, it seems like he's really trying to start. He be trying to start something. He be trying to start something. That's a song, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure it's a song.
Yeah.
It's our song.
Yeah, our song. He be trying to start something, which is wild.
Look, when he showed up in the MAGA hat at the White House, I was like, you are a brilliant musician, and I think I'm out. I gotta be out for these reasons.
And for these reasons, I am out. Thank you so much.
I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah. I'm just like, we gotta get our friends some help.
Yeah. I mean, but at what point? Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm out of it. Someone close to him's got to do something because I'm over here. I'm minding my business as always.
Yeah. 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 I saw it and I said, won't investigate. Don't know why he did it. Okay. Caleb, we have to end this. I could talk to you for hours and hours, but you have a heart out at 1:20 because you have like a life or something and you just have to go. Okay. So I ask everybody this, would you date me?
I would date you, Nicole. I think we would have a lot of fun. I think, look, there are a lot of obstacles we'd have to jump over. Yes. My sexuality being a massive one.
Sure.
But man, do I think we'd have a good time.
I think we'd have.
And I think we'd get invited to everything.
I also think so. I think we'd be like a fucking power couple. And I think that would be delightful.
We'd be lighting up every dinner party.
Ooh, yes. They'd be like, we got to invite Nicole and Caleb. They funny as fuck. They eat all the food, but they're very funny.
God damn, they're funny.
She also comes with Tupperware and she eats it all and takes what she can't. Okay, Caleb, do you have anything you want to promote?
Oh no! Follow me on stuff at Caleb Says Things, and I'll tell you when there's stuff, you guys.
Okay, this I love. All right, if you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, like it, rate it, subscribe, whatever the fuck, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, I don't know. But listen, if you write me something nasty hitting on me, I will read it aloud. You can send it to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you have any questions, concerns, queries, comments, send it along. Mars, my producer, she'll be looking at it. So no dick pics, no pussy pics, no titties, no butts. She don't want it. I don't see it. This nice person said, there will only be 7 planets left after I destroy your anus. Thank you, Queen. Okay, bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production. Life is a highway,
and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.